I'd always wondered if a fellow would be afraid or if I'd be afraid to bail if the time ever came. But I'm afraid you're not. But I suddenly realized that we just had to get out of there. I grabbed my hat, jumped to the lower deck, pulled my straps up tight on the chute, and stepped out. The thought went through my mind at the time of taking a delayed drop to get below the debris. And I guess I didn't delay it too long. I was going down, and then the thought ran through my mind about maybe the chute wouldn't open. So I popped the cord. It opened. Next thoughts, I guess, were about the other fellows, and I got to looking around for them. I could see some other chutes higher up, along about in here somewhere. Surprising the things that run through a fellow's mind. I got to thinking just a week before this, we'd made a CBS recording like this, and it was supposed to have been on the air tonight. We were intending to listen to it over the aircraft radio. I thought at the time, I guess I'm out on that. Well, we seemed to fall real slow at altitude. I got down fairly close to the ground, and then it got gusty, and I started oscillating a bit. And in there somewhere, too, I got to worrying about my cigarettes, searching all my pockets. Somebody in Oklahoma may find $1.50 worth of change. I fell out of one pocket and left my lighter in the same pocket. Still had the cigarettes. That was that worry over. And as it ended, well, I got down on a flat piece of ground, landed very hard, managed to spring up my knee. I didn't realize a fella could work up a thirst so quickly. I was dry all the way down. But as soon as I got my chute collapsed, rolled over, and I got up looking for the other survivors.
There were three other survivors. 12 men who helped us write and record the story of the B-36 for you a week ago were dead. So is the pilot of the fighter plane. Not all who serve America need go to foreign shores. To the hundreds of thousands of men and women of the armed forces, far from the battlefronts, but practicing and policing, training and teaching for the defense of the nation, we offer our salute. We chose to do it through a casualty of the war who is closer to us at the moment. Because a week ago tonight, while the 15 other men of his crew remained silent, you heard him calling the tower and preparing to land.
Carswell Tower, this is Air Force 2658. We request a GCA to Carswell, over.
Roger, Air Force 2658. This is Carswell GCA. The weather at Carswell is as following. Visibility 4 miles. Ceiling is 700 feet. Altimeter sighting 29085, 29085. The wind is from the south. We have a light rain here at Carswell. What is pilot's name, type aircraft, and home station? Over.
Roger, GCA. This is 2658. The pilot's name is Precilius. I spell Charlie. Roger. Easy. Charlie. Easy. Love. Ida. Uncle. Sugar. Rank Major. 436 Squadron. Home base. Carswell. And B-36 type aircraft.
Listening to Hear It Now, CBS's weekly document for air based on the week's news. The program continues immediately after this pause for station identification. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WDWS in Champaign-Urbana. They're water repellent, wind resistant, and just what you've been looking for in the smart golf jacket. Look for the label Airman. It's your best bet for golfing comfort. And Pat Kane's got them in sizes 36 to 46. In navy, maroon, green, yellow, tan, and gray. You'll like their raglan sleeves, too. Ask for Airman Jackets at Pat Kane's, 202 North Neal, Champaign. They're just $5.50.
This is Program 21 on Hear It Now. A full-hour review of the week's news, told in the actual recorded voices of the men and women who make the news. Once again, here is the editor of Hear It Now, Edward R. Murrow.
In Washington this week, the Kefauver Committee officially ended its career. A new committee under Senator Herbert O'Connor, and with many of the old members still on it, will carry on. Senator Kefauver and his fellow members did get together for a fond farewell. and to present their official report to the press and public. We have asked senators of the committee to read the most important portions of their report. First, Chairman Kefauver with paragraph 1 of the 195-page report.
Organized criminal gangs operating in interstate commerce are firmly entrenched in our large cities and the operation of many different gambling enterprises such as bookmaking, policy slot machines, as well as in other rackets, such as the sale and distribution of narcotics and commercialized prostitution. They are the survivors of the murderous underworld wars of the Prohibition era.
Section 6 had to do with the possibility of legalized gambling as the solution. Here, Senator Lester Hunt tells why the committee opposes it.
The legalization of gambling would not terminate the widespread predatory activities of criminal gangs and syndicates. The history of legalized gambling in Nevada and in other parts of the country gives no assurances that mobsters and racketeers can be converted into responsible businessmen through the simple process of obtaining state and local licenses for the gambling enterprises.
Senator Toby could not read the part about income taxes without a brief editorial comment of his own.
I feel that the most important recommendation which the committee has made in the report, most important to the with respect to the fact that in my judgment, it'll strike harder at the criminal interests of this country is embodied in these words. The law and the regulations of the Bureau of Internal Revenue should be amended so that no wagering losses, expenses, or disbursements of any kind, including salaries, rent, protection money, and so forth, incurred in or as a result of illegal gambling shall be deductible for income tax purposes. That's got a punch in it.
Chief Counsel Rudolph Halley, who also leads the committee, on Frank Costello and Ambassador William O'Dwyer.
Despite Mr. O'Dwyer's frequent public castigations of Tammany Hall and his acknowledgement that Frank Costello was a sinister influence therein, he has been on terms of intimate friendship with persons who were close friends of Costello. Many of his intimate friends were also close friends of racketeer Joe Adonis. He has appointed friends of both Costello and Adonis to high public office. His defense of public officials who were derelict in their duties and his actions in investigations of corruption and his failure to follow up concrete evidence of organized crime, particularly in the case of Murder, Inc. and the Waterfront, have contributed to the growth of organized crime, racketeering, and gangsterism in New York City.
The committee feels that the solution is a local matter, as indicated now by Senator Wiley with paragraph 9.
The conduct of various forms of gambling enterprises, houses of prostitution, the distribution of narcotics, the use of intimidation, violence, and murder to achieve gang objectives are all violations of state laws. The public must insist upon local and state law enforcement agencies meeting this challenge.
What you're about to hear is an oral document on divorce. You may not like what you hear, but the facts speak for themselves. We are a young and energetic nation, proud and powerful and bountifully blessed. But in one regard, we're heading for trouble, serious trouble. And the tragedy is that while possibly some may be aware of what's happening, we're doing practically nothing about it. Between now and the time this show goes off the air, 80 couples in this country will have made up their minds to get married. In the next half hour, 20 other couples will have decided that their marriage is a failure. By the time you hear our closing theme, the husband or wife in 20 American families will be asking one or the other for a divorce. By tomorrow this time, 1,000 new divorces will have been set in motion. By the end of this year, the number of divorces since 1940 will be over 7 million. That's the total population of Arizona, Delaware, Idaho, Montana, New Hampshire, New Mexico, both Dakotas, Rhode Island, Utah, Vermont, Wyoming, and Nevada. 13 states. This is a river, a turbulent river, the Truckee, as it rushes down the towering Sierra Nevada mountains past Reno. That was a wedding ring thrown into the swirling waters.
Well, that's that.
That was the woman who threw it in. She was one of the 9,000 who came to Nevada last year to get divorced and carry out a Reno tradition. Why she got divorced is one thing. The reason she gave the court is another. The Reverend Brewster Adams has been a Baptist minister in Reno for 40 years.
What they tell me is not what they tell the court. And what the court tells the public is not the facts that actually are, but really the simplest and easiest way it is to present human troubles.
Dr. William Goode is probably the foremost researcher on divorce in America today.
It's not that we do not have enough facts. It's rather that we know so many facts that are simply not true. The location of divorce lies primarily among the working classes. Divorcees, male and female, have greater chances of remarrying than either the widowed or single people of the same age. Most divorces don't happen quickly. The court hearing is simply one step in a long process.
We've heard a minister and we've heard a doctor. Listen to Judge George Holt of the Florida Circuit Court.
People who want divorce, who seek divorce, will find relief in some manner. People desiring divorce will go to any length to obtain it.
Those determined to end their marriage do it quickly. They go to Florida, the Virgin Islands, Idaho, or Nevada, where the waiting periods are shortest, 6 weeks. In Reno, to while away the time, they go to places like the Riverside Hotel. They dance. They gamble, and some are lucky. This girl has come to Reno to get a divorce. Her home's in California. First, she sees a lawyer.
Where were you married?
New York.
What was the date of your marriage?
June 10th, 1943.
Are there any children, the issue of the marriage?
Yes, one, a boy.
I assume that you're to have the custody of the child.
Oh, yes. I'll have the child, and he will be allowed to have him in the summer for a month.
Well, what do you want to get a divorce for? What's the trouble?
Well, it's just impossible. We just don't get along. It's hopeless.
Well, that isn't quite enough to satisfy a court. I'd like to have
Well, I guess mainly you'd say that he wants to go one way, I want to go another.
In 6 weeks, she'll appear before Judge Clark Guild, one of the foremen of the Reno divorce factory. But bosses are human and have feelings, too.
Are there children involved? Divorce is certainly a tragedy. And I never tried a divorce case where there were children that my heart didn't ache for the innocent. And yet I believe in divorce, absolutely. I believe that even in children's lives where two parties are living in quarreling, and especially in the presence of children, that it's best to the interests of the children that they be removed from that kind of an environment.
But there are those, like Dr. Kenneth Johnson, dean of the Columbia School of Social Work, who see in broken homes where there are children a breach in the wall that leads to juvenile delinquency, possibly crime, and certainly insecurity.
Were you to learn that annually 300,000 children were the victims of either disease or fire, you would leap from your complacency and demand immediate remedial action. It were better that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Often strikes you with all its horrifying significance when you witness an innocent child involved in a divorce action. Do not misunderstand me. I am not opposed to divorce as a means for dissolving certain marriages. What I am urging is a careful and prayerful reconsideration of divorce action whenever children are involved.
Lewis is a bartender at Reno's Riverside Casino. He doesn't have a college degree, but he can speak with considerable authority.
Well, there's one woman out here from the East, from London, England. She's getting her divorce. She's been here 4 days now, and the whole deal's called off, and she's going all the way back to London. I guess she still loves her old man. And I think most of them could be talked into going back to their husbands.
Sometimes, most times, the husband isn't there. And so in the case of the girl from California, she moves on to the county clerk, Elwood Beamer.
Excuse me, are you Mr. Beamer, the county clerk?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I was told I should see you. I just arrived in Reno, and I want to see about getting a divorce. And I was told to see you about what to do.
First, of course, you must establish a 6 weeks' residence before you can file for a divorce.
Oh,
and
it
would be my advice for you to stay at one place. Because if you move about to different places, every witness you have to bring in to establish your residence, you have to pay them $5. And then in addition to that,
No two states have the same divorce laws. Washington has the most ground for divorce. New York has only one, adultery. And some, like this girl, go to Florida.
Florida seems
ago now, Dave. I was married here 6 years ago, and the divorce laws in New York are so limited, well, it's very hard to go through that at home.